Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Farhana Sheikh, and this is Agenda Awani. On today's episode, we will be talking about how to shape our youth to become future leaders of tomorrow through some of the educational exchange programs offered by the US government. We'll find out more about the Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative, or YCLI, and also the Fulbright program, both offering educational and cultural exchanges, networking and engagement sessions, and many other exciting programs and activities for youths in ASEAN. Now, let's not wait any longer. Here to talk more on that is Akash R. Suri, Public Diplomacy Officer from the United States Embassy of Kuala Lumpur. Thank you for joining us today, Akash.
Thank you for having me, Farhana.
All right, so let's get straight to it. These are exciting programs and opportunities that I'm sure a lot of young Malaysians are keeping their eyes on. So would you mind sharing with us first, what are these programs all about and what do they offer?
Sure. So there's actually a number of exchange programs that we offer through the U.S. Embassy. It would be difficult to talk about each one of them, but what I'll say is I think the key message here is that there are programs available for you no matter what stage of your career you're at. So whether you are a high school student, we have programs for you. Whether you're a college student, we have programs for you. For young professionals, we have programs. And then for those academics, we also have programs. You mentioned a couple of programs earlier, like YCLI. So through YCLI, we have a number of exchange programs. Our YCLI academic scholars, our YCLI professional fellows that go to the United States. So those folks are just sort of starting out in their careers. They get to go to the United States, spend a few weeks, months over there, learning from their peers in their industry. And then you also mentioned Fulbright. And Fulbright is, again, a whole suite of programs that goes all the way from high school, all the way through those Fulbright Malaysian scholars who are doing important scholarly PhD research and work in the United States. So, yeah, we have just a number of programs and I think some really exciting opportunities that a lot of Malaysians are already taking advantage of.
Now, those sure are exciting programs that I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to. Now, it's been known that some of these programs are not that easy to get into. So some are even saying that these programs are for the elites. Is that true? And so what sort of, if that's so, what sort of participants are you actually looking for?
Well, I think there is sometimes that perception that programs and opportunities like these are for the elite. I would hope to dispel that. I think that what we're most looking for in our exchange participants are people who are sincerely trying to make a difference, and those who are going to take that experience, come back to Malaysia, and really apply it within their communities and share that experience with those around them. That's what we're really looking for. A second thing we're always trying to do is ensure diversity, and that means diversity in terms of gender, but it also means diversity geographically. We want to see people from across Malaysia represented in our program. So Peninsular Malaysia, obviously the Borneo side, and just make sure that a real cross-section of Malaysians are able to appreciate the United States. In terms of being elite, you know, we actually are trying to find those people who don't have these opportunities otherwise. Those who wouldn't have this opportunity to travel to the U.S. and connect with experts through their work or in their personal lives, right? So we're really looking for those folks who can take the most advantage of this and maybe wouldn't have this opportunity otherwise.
I see. So talking about criterias as well, are there any, I know we're talking about youth, but are there any sort of age limit or any criteria that they need to fulfill to join some of these programs?
So it sort of depends on the program. Like I said, some are intended for high school students, so obviously you must be in high school. A lot of the YCLI programs, it's the Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative, right? So it goes sort of through that mid-30s bracket. The various Fulbright programs have their own sort of age ranges that they're looking for, whether high school or college or or professionals. So there are some requirements like that, but each program is very different and looking for a very specific sort of applicant or participant in those programs. We also have a lot of programs that are sort of for people in particular professions. So one of my favorites is a program called the FLTA program, the Foreign Language Teaching Assistantship Program, that actually takes English teachers from Malaysia and asks them to go to the United States and teach their language, Malay, in the United States and learn about our pedagogies, our processes, how we teach languages in the US, and then bring that back and use that to teach English again here. So for example, we have those. We have programs that focus on NGO workers or NGO leaders to go to the United States, embed within American NGOs and sort of learn what we do and how we do it, and also share how you do things here in Malaysia with your American counterparts so they can learn from that process as well.
Okay, sounds like there's a program for everyone.
Sort of, yeah.
So, yeah. So now, with these exchange programs, like you said just now, Malaysians will go to the U.S. for a few months at the most, and staying with American families, joining their universities, joining their schools, which are all exciting, but can also be daunting at the same time, I suppose. So how had previous participants adapted to this, and what can future participants expect?
You're absolutely right, Farhana. And, you know, one of my favorite parts of my job is meeting these participants before they go and then seeing them again, getting to sit down with them once they come back to Malaysia. The difference you see in them in all respects is pretty incredible in terms of their confidence, obviously their English language skills, and sort of their way of thinking that they bring back with them is pretty incredible. All of them are nervous before they go. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of what people know about the U.S. is through popular media, popular culture, movies, television shows, etc. So they often express that to us, you know, I'm not so sure, it's such a different culture. When they get there, they feel so welcomed into their campus communities, their work communities, by their colleagues, by fellow students. People are really curious to know where they're from and what they're about. You know, one comment I often hear is that strangers are so talkative in the United States, right? Like, no matter where you are, someone's going to ask you how you're doing, what you're up to, and people are always taken aback by that, but it really becomes second nature to them after a while, and they try to do that in Malaysia as well and try to bring some of that back with them. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. People are nervous before they go, but they come back with just fantastic stories of how the U.S. wasn't what they expected, how it was so different, how welcome they felt in the United States, and then they bring back some of that mentality and culture with them and share it with their communities. So that's fantastic as well.
Okay. I guess it's just about taking the leap of faith, right?
Absolutely.
Into joining these programs. Absolutely. And you'll be exposed to so many different cultures, different things, different food even, I'm guessing. So.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, is that the U.S. is a microcosm of so many different cultures. You know, mm-hmm. There's no one U.S. Monolith culture. We have so many Asian American communities there. We have an African American community, obviously, Latin American cultures that are so prevalent. So you don't just go, even on the campus that you're at, if you're a student, there's going to be so many international students there that you're going to make connections with people all over the world, not just Americans, but people from Europe, Africa, Asia. You're really going to make a really cool set of lifelong connections that will persist through your career.
Let's talk about how these programs are aimed at honing leadership skills. Sure. For youths in ASEAN. So how so? And if you don't mind sharing with us some of the success stories from some of the participants too, you know, what have they become once they get back to
Certainly.
Their own countries?
So each program handles it a little bit differently, you know. I think some of the programs have leadership curriculum built into them, right? Like you're actually going to do courses on leadership and how to be an effective leader, how to lead from no matter what your position is within an organization. Because when you're young, you're not going to start out at the top, right? You're going to be somewhere in the middle, and how can you lead from that perspective? But also, I think there's just a general leadership culture in the United States. So if you're a high school or a college student going to the United States, you're going to see that all those students around you are starting their own clubs, starting their own, you know, publications and newspapers. They're really not waiting for opportunities to come to them. They're creating opportunities for other people. And those young people bring that back with them. In terms of success stories, it's just been pretty incredible. I'll take Wysili as an example again. In some of our Wysili programs, what we try to do is encourage people to think about the community around them and what the needs are, right? And so the projects that come out of some of our Wysili regional workshops address issues like mental health, diversity and inclusion. Obviously, the environment is a big theme of Wysili. So it's just, I think it's boundless, the number of issue areas that our alumni of our exchange programs are addressing and applying their experience towards once they come back to Malaysia.
I guess, I mean, as a continuation to what you said just now, like you said, there are some important issues that garner a lot of youth's attention and also affecting youth these days, like you said, climate change, gender equality, political participation and all that. So you're saying they will be able to explore these kind of issues and you'll be able to create more opportunities surrounding these kind of topics and issues?
Absolutely. When they go on these programs, there's no real limitation on the conversations that they can have, the people they can meet, the types of issues that they can become aware of, you know? I'm going to go back to Wysili for a second. You're right. Young people are facing some unprecedented challenges right now. Not just COVID, but I'm thinking about the environment, various social issues that they've become so aware of and are really trying to make changes about in their societies. Waisili, the core to Waisili are a lot of those topics, whether it's environment, whether it's social justice and social impact, whether it's education. And so you can do all of these things through the Waisili opportunities that we have.
Okay. Sounds like pretty sure, you know, all these participants will get exposed to a lot of things, and hopefully they will learn and adapt and, you know, come back and teach, you know, all their peers, becoming more exposed to all these sort of issues.
That's the goal of the programs, right? Yeah. The goal is really to connect people and give them that platform.
Yeah. All right. So now it's been a year of, or even 2 years of change for all of us with COVID and all that. So what sort of new ideas and changes that we can expect from these programs this time around?
I think the biggest change probably is that we're back to doing these programs again. It's been really rough for the past couple of years. You know, we've been very effective in doing them virtually. We have colleagues that have worked really hard to make those virtual interactions really fruitful. We call them virtual exchange programs. And it's been really surprising how effective that has been. But we're really excited that we're going to have Malaysians traveling to the U.S. again, making those face-to-face connections, visiting the various states in the United States, the various cities in the United States. So we're really excited about that. So that's probably the biggest change for this year, is getting back into the swing of those things, doing all of the applications and interview processes and seeing these young people off as they go to the United States. That's going to be the biggest change for us.
I mean, it must be a lot of different doing it virtually and doing it, you know, with a whole full-fledged proper program, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very different experience, you know. I even heard from some participants that the virtual engagement was convenient for them in some ways, right? They didn't have to take time off from their work or from their school. They could still make connections with Americans. They'd still exchanged emails and stayed in touch via various social networks, etc. So it was effective, but the experience of going to the U.S. is really something special and altogether unique. So we're excited to be able to do that again.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of people are also excited to go out as well, to travel overseas and, you know, to experience new things as well, after being cooped up at home for quite a while.
Absolutely. So. And that's the part that we talked about, a lot of the sort of topical parts of this, right? Like learning about your issue area or your specialty. But there's a fun aspect to these things also, right? Seeing some of the great cities of the world, whether it's San Francisco, New York, Chicago, et cetera, experiencing all the diverse cultures that the U.S. has to offer, the cuisines that the U.S. has to offer, right? So they bring all of that back with them. It's really a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah, sounds like I should be here right now and I should be joining one of these programs.
Absolutely.
All right, so I guess talking a little bit technical here, so exchange programs in general are meant to improve intercultural relations and also cultural diplomacy. They are known to do that. So how will these programs, specifically with U.S. and Malaysia, how will it improve our relations, you feel?
You know, the U.S. and Malaysian governments enjoy close cooperation on a number of different issues and areas. But there's no substitute for that people-to-people connection that's so necessary for those relationships to persist and continue for centuries, you know? And so I think that we have a lot of experts in the United States and a lot of experts in Malaysia. And when those experts come together and they collaborate on research or medical advancements, they do joint research on environmental breakthroughs, et cetera, that's where the magic really happens. And that benefits not just the United States and Malaysia, though it does keep our relationship fresh and continuous, but those scientific advancements can benefit really the entire globe. So there's so much value to cultural exchange programs. One thing we haven't talked about is Americans that come to Malaysia. So as part of these exchanges, there's a whole cohort of Americans that also come to Malaysia, often through our Fulbright programs, and they undertake research here, and they make those connections, and they keep them going over time. I'm also thinking about the high school students that go from Malaysia to the United States. You know, what often ends up happening is they stay with host families, and eventually their host families visit Malaysia. So I've heard recently of one student who went from Sabha to the United States, and his host family actually decided to visit Sabha and see where he grew up and meet his family. Those connections are going to last a lifetime, and you can see how that could pay dividends for our people-to-people relationship for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, other than exchanging experts and professionals, it's also creating memories, creating friendships, and creating all sorts of good times together,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, okay, so now we move on to, let's say, look at the bigger picture here, right? COVID-19 has affected a lot of us. So many youths, especially in this region as well, fall through the cracks sometimes when it comes to self-development. So we talked about some has missed education, some unemployment rates is at an all-time high at the moment. So what are some of the challenges you feel that the youth today faces?
I think you sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of right now, COVID is presenting so many challenges to young people, right? Whether it's in their schooling and not being able to be in the classroom with their teachers, or whether it's not being able to advance in their careers as they might like, not being to be able to be in the office and get the type of mentorship that we need face-to-face in a sense, right? I think there's a lot of challenges, but again, I think that we have just an incredible cadre of young leaders in both Malaysia and in the United States that are ready to overcome these challenges. What we try to do through exchange programs is give them that platform, right? That's the best thing we can do for them, is to help them make connections, through Vaisili, not just in the United States, but with leaders throughout Southeast Asia, right? So we can help them make connections, we can give them a platform, we can give them resources to really make their voices heard. So we'll do our best, we'll continue to do our best through all these exchange programs, but you're absolutely right. This is an unprecedented time, I think, for young people, and they're really working through it. It's incredible.
Yeah. All right. I guess, again, in today's situation, right, like what you mentioned just now, I guess it's more important than ever for youths to become agents of change. So we're talking about how do we get youths to be better engaged, not just in this kind of programs, but to play a bigger role in building a better society. What are, especially with the challenges that they are facing right now, how can we get them more interested to participate in this kind of programs, to go out and to voice out their concerns, to form movements, to talk about, you know, big issues, important issues? How do we get them to be better engaged?
Sure. In my job, I get to interact with a lot of young Malaysians. And one thing that seems really important to them is that they feel heard. And I think that's one important thing we can do, is just make sure that they feel heard. The issues that they care about, they feel like are being acknowledged by us, right? And that's what we try to do through all of these programs. I think I mentioned Vaisili has a few different core areas, education, environment, social impact is a big one, entrepreneurship is a big one, and economic empowerment. So we set these core themes because we find that these are the things that young people throughout Southeast Asia, that's sort of at the top of their list, you know, ensuring that the environment is taken care of, that there's equitable access to economic advancement, that there's equitable access to education. So through these programs, we'll continue to sort of give them the tools that they need to make that difference in their community. And again, I think that those regional ties that we foster through Vaisili, making sure that a young leader in Malaysia is connected with a young leader in Thailand and a young leader in Cambodia and a young leader in Indonesia, and they all are working together and pulling one another up, is really the key to advancing all of the issues that we care so much about.
Yeah, talking about, COVID presenting some of the challenges, like you said just now, some of this stuff had to be done virtually. So when it comes to engaging virtually as well, how does this program help with that?
Sure. So we've had to do quite a bit of virtual engagement over the past 2 years, and we've become quite good at it. I don't think we've just become good at executing it, but the participants have become really good at engaging virtually. I've done a number of Vaisili programs virtually, digitally, only able to engage with them through a screen. And it's pretty incredible the energy they're able to bring, even virtually, you know, just by cheering and really sort of the warmth and the camaraderie they're able to form virtually is pretty incredible, and something that we're going to keep going. You know, like, of course, we want to go back to the in-person stuff, but I think going forward, you'll continue to see us try to engage virtually whenever possible or wherever it makes sense. You know, if schedules aren't working, if we're not able to get everything in one place, the virtual program can be pretty effective, and we can do that for a while and then bring everyone together in person at some point so that they can really make those in-person connections that are so important.
Yeah, well, let's hope, you know, all our young leaders of today will be able to take note of all this information and will be able to really assess whether or not all this cultural exchange program will give them the benefit that
sure.
they want, especially after so long of COVID, so long of facing all these challenges. So, okay, so before we wrap up this session, I guess you could encourage our youth to participate and also tell us how they can apply to these programs. I'm sure they don't want to wait any longer.
Absolutely. I want to get back to one of your earlier questions where it said that you said there's some perception that these programs can be for the elite. I just want to tell everyone out there that that's not the case at all, that we are looking for young people just like you. There's a program that's the right fit for you. We're certainly not looking just for an elite subset of Malaysian society. We're really looking for a representative cross-section of Malaysia that can represent all of the disparate and diverse issues and interests that are present here. I hate to do this, but like the most effective way for you to get information about all these programs is always online and through our website. The U.S. Embassy's social media channels have a lot of information. We also have a binational commission in Malaysia called MACE, the Malaysia-American Commission on Education and Exchange. MACE, M-A-C-E-E, their website also has just a wealth of information. You know, these programs, there's so many of them, they're open for application at all different times throughout the year. And it often changes from year to year. So following us on Facebook, following us on Instagram, we try to really get the word out. So just keep engaged with us online and we'll make sure that you know about all these opportunities.
Awesome. That sounds incredible. So there you have it. Thank you, Akash, for all the information on some of these exciting programs that I'm sure a lot of Malaysian youths would not want to miss out. That's all the time we have. I'm Farhana Sheikh. Thank you for watching.